Our next speaker is Aaron Tang. Aaron is professor of law at the UC Davis School of Law. He will be discussing the conflicts between for teachers unions between employment security and student education. Go ahead, Aaron.
Thanks. So I want to make two points in my time. The first is just to give a little bit of a postscript on the state of public sector unionism, teachers unions in particular, now that we're more than 2 years removed from the Supreme Court's decision in Janus versus AFSCME Council 31, which is a ruling that some in organized labor worried or described as a potential death blow. And the short explanation of Janus, the decision itself, for listeners, is that it upended a decades-old compromise in which public sector unions were required, compelled by state law, to fairly represent all of their workers, even those workers who objected to the union. And so where those objecting workers were in turn required to pay the union what's called a fair share fee to pay for their fair share of the union's bargaining costs that produce a wage premium for them, to pay for their fair share of representation against the employer, and so forth. But in Janus, the Supreme Court struck down those fees under the First Amendment. They gave objecting workers, with in essence a constitutional right to free ride on the union, they're still entitled right to the benefits of bargaining and union representation, but they can no longer be forced to pay for it. And so many commentators predicted that this would lead to a death spiral for public sector union membership, as even, you know, supportive members recognize they can free ride and get the benefits without paying. Some unions, AFSCME, for example, predicted itself losses in membership of as much as 15%, maybe even more. But now that we're 2 years removed, the evidence so far is that this death spiral has not begun. In the 2 years since Janus, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, public sector union membership rate has declined by less than 1% in the aggregate. Teachers lose a tiny fraction of their membership. And the reason why has been pretty clear. The unions have worked very successfully to persuade workers about the value of voluntarily joining and paying dues to the union. So the second point is to ask a question, and that question is the resilience that teachers unions have shown in the face of Janus a good thing for America? And here's the second point I want to make. That's a hard question. It's much, much more complicated than many progressives or conservatives might like to think. A lot of the arguments for why public sector unions are good might be familiar, and I think Laura will be much more effective in making those points in a moment, so I won't focus on them. But just to touch on some, right, they include the fact that unions produce a wage premium, significant premium for working class folks. To the extent one has political progressive political leanings like myself, right, they're obviously an important factor in electoral politics. Right? And I want to emphasize that point just to be clear with readers and listeners so they can form their own judgments about any bias as they might worry that I have, right? I am politically progressive. I also am a former inner city St. Louis middle school teacher. So a lot of what I'll talk about the conflict between teachers, unions, and what's best for poor kids and kids of color comes from personal experience, heavily informed by personal experience. And that's what I want to focus on, right, is this complicated relationship between unions and this issue care deeply about, which is improving educational opportunity for our kids, particularly brown and black kids, poor kids who face this pernicious gap in terms of school quality. And here's why I think that question is harder than many people recognize or admit. Sometimes what's best for teachers unions is not what's best for kids, in particular poor kids and kids of color. Now, to be clear, sometimes it is what's best. Unions have been on the front lines fighting for increased school spending, which obviously can be helpful to kids. Historically, unions have fought for critical protections, like ensuring that female teachers, for example, can't be discriminated against on the basis of pregnancy. It's a rule that obviously helps both teachers and their students. So again, I'm not here to say that unions are bad. I'm just trying to say that there are compelling arguments on both sides. Okay, so what are some of the arguments on the other side? Let me just give an example. This is the policy question Larry alluded to of what we ought to do as a policy matter about bad teachers, right? Listeners probably have firsthand experience with this, maybe heard stories. I'm talking about teachers who barely even try to teach, who fall asleep in class, they just show movies, worse, right? I worked with several of these teachers in inner city St. Louis public schools, and there's just an overwhelming body of evidence that if we could just remove these teachers, maybe just the bottom 5% of teachers who year in, year out, they consistently fail to produce any learning from their students, right? If we could just replace them with average teachers, we'd have this huge benefit in terms of student achievement, reduce high school dropout rates, lifetime economic productivity. And what is more, that benefit would be greatest in the schools that serve low-income kids kids of color who are, of course, disproportionately likely to be taught by our lowest performing teachers. But the fact of the matter is we just don't do that, right? The statistics are kind of staggering in large districts like Chicago or Denver. The statistics are fewer than 0.01%. One of 10,000 or more tenured teachers are dismissed for poor performance in any given year. Right? And the reason why is pretty clear. Teachers' unions are very good at protecting their members, which is, of course, the whole point of the union, which is it's to protect its workers. In a lot of ways, I'll concede that's great, but in others, it creates this conflict or this tension. Sometimes the interests of the union are going to run up against the interests of our children, including disadvantaged children. It's not just the question of leaving bad kids in the classroom where they inflict educational harm on kids. It's in other policy debates too, right? When there is money to be spent, unions often champion a costly intervention of reducing class size, but the evidence is that's not a great use of money outside of kindergarten through third grade. So middle high school class size reduction is very costly, but not very beneficial, especially compared to other policy reforms like paying cash bonuses to teachers to encourage them to transfer to low-performing schools, perhaps integrating schools by socioeconomic status. I see my time is up, so I'm going to pause right there. But I'm just trying to sell that this is a difficult policy question, much more difficult than either side of the political divide might like it to be.
Okay, Aaron, thank you.